Well, moving on, there's a major case that was argued before the United States Supreme Court today, and it pits Boston-based retailer, online retailer, I should say, Wayfair, against the state of South Dakota. And at issue, whether states can require online sellers to collect state sales taxes on purchases made by their residents. Since 1992, the court has held that retailers collect such taxes only in states where they have a physical presence. Now, South Dakota wants to lower that threshold substantially to the level of a company's economic presence in a state. So the Supreme Court could be poised to make sweeping changes to online commerce and taxation in America, depending on how the justices rule. Joining us now with his view is Andy Pincus. He's a visiting lecturer at Yale Law School and a partner at the firm Mayer Brown in Washington. And he filed an amicus brief in this case on behalf of online retailers. Andy Pincus, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Magna. Great to be with you.
So, first of all, the Supreme Court is essentially revisiting its 1992 decision in the Quill case, right? And that's the one that says that companies only need to pay sales taxes or collect them in states where they have a physical presence. But this was back in the day where we had catalogs, you know, a lifetime away from where we are now with online retailers. So why'd you file a brief on behalf of online retailers and not states? It feels like this law is in need of a massive update.
Well, because first of all, the rule that the Supreme Court adopted actually was first adopted in 1967, reaffirmed in 92, mm-hmm. and again at issue today. Because catalogs, mail order, telephone, online, it's all the same. It's covered by the same legal principle, which is you do need physical presence. And if that rule is going to be changed, we think the place for it to be changed is Congress, because lots of folks have invested money creating online businesses based on the assumption that they don't have to collect and remit taxes based on the laws of 50 states if they have customers in every state. And to change that rule in the middle, for the court to do it, would be quite a significant change for those businesses.
Mm. Now, okay, so saying that Congress should change, be the group in charge of changing the law, point taken, right? I mean, they, you know, should be regulating interstate commerce here. But asking that outcome to come from Congress right now seems, to be perfectly frank, a little unrealistic, since it seems hard for Congress to get anything done. But I am curious about your notion that online retailers, smaller ones, are attracted to e-commerce because they can avoid collecting state sales taxes. I mean, that's not really the only driver, obviously. The big driver is they get access to customers ostensibly anywhere in the world.
Right. It's a huge engine of entrepreneurship. And the data shows it's especially been an engine of building small businesses for women, people of color, veterans, and people who live in geographically depressed areas who may not have enough of a market in their immediate physical area to make their business work. But as you say, if they can reach the whole world via the internet, they do have a marketplace in which they can thrive. And that's that. The data indicates that disproportionately those are the people in the small and medium-sized business world that have been thriving and that are really going to be hurt by this change. Because what's happening is the big retailers, the Amazons, the Walmarts, they are moving to a bricks and clicks model where they feel like they need physical presence, either because they want warehouses for quick delivery, or Amazon, I live in Washington, D.C., and Amazon just opened a bookstore because they felt like they needed a physical place for people to go. So for the bigger companies, they're moving into a model where under the Quill rule, they are subject to tax collection obligations. So we're really talking about what are we going to do with respect to these small and medium-sized businesses, and are we going to find a way, for example, to create some kind of an exemption for small companies to be sure that the change in the rule doesn't give rise to retroactive taxation obligations. And Congress can make those fine distinctions, but the court can't. The court basically has an on-off switch.
Right.
About it.
So this question of fairness, right, between the online giants and smaller online retailers, or sort of legacy or extant brick-and-mortar retailers in the state. I mean, because I want to play a little bit of tape for you here. This is from Bill Rennie. He's the vice president of the Retailers Association of Massachusetts. And they definitely want the Quill decision to be overturned because they're concerned about fairness regarding online sales versus brick and mortar retailers, you know, right here, for example, in the state of Massachusetts.
You're a brick and mortar retailer here in Massachusetts and you're selling a $500 TV, you know, you're going to charge 6.25% sales tax to the customer that walks into your store. That customer can stand there right in front of you, pull out their phone, look up the exact same item online. The key is going to be that 6.25% sales tax that they don't have to pay online.
Your response to that?
But they are going to have to pay a shipping charge. You know, I think the just singling out the taxation as the sole difference just presents a very misleading picture. Brick-and-mortar stores have an advantage. The customer can walk in, see and touch the merchandise, doesn't have to pay any shipping charge. Online, yes, from a smaller retailer, there may not be tax, but there will be shipping charges, and there isn't the ability to see and touch, and there isn't, obviously, you have a remote seller. Some people prefer to have a store where if something goes wrong, they can go downtown and get the problem dealt with. So there are pluses and minuses to each experience, and I think the people who want Quill overturned want to single out one little element. But as I say, you have to look at the whole package that each is providing and recognize that the big competition is coming from the big online retailers who now are, for the most part, and the data shows, paying those taxes.
Well, you know, the Government Accountability Office had put out an audit that says that states missed out on almost $14 billion in sales taxes in 2017 because they couldn't collect from so many online retailers.
Well, I think that data was before Amazon changed its model and now collects taxes on Amazon sales. So that's going to put a big dent in that number. But the GAO study also showed that of the top 100 retailers, the sales tax owed is being collected to the tune of between 86 and 96%. So it tells you that the big companies are collecting the tax. And as I said, this is really about what are we going to do about the medium-sized and small online companies.
Okay, well, so I mean,
it's good to have Amazon or Walmart or someone as the sort of threat out there to the local merchant. But in fact, with respect to sales tax, they're not anymore.
So, but in South Dakota, though, the law that's at issue here is one that they would require retailers with more than $100,000 in annual sales in South Dakota or 200 transactions in that state. I mean, does that seem like a reasonable threshold to you if you're talking small to medium-sized businesses?
Well, the South Dakota statute is a made-for-litigation statute. They're very frank to say, we wrote this statute to make it really attractive to the Supreme Court. The legal rule that they're asking to the Supreme Court to adopt, as their lawyer candidly said today to the Supreme Court, would allow a state to choose to impose tax obligations if the state just had one sale. So the fact that South Dakota, for this litigation play, has written this statute doesn't say anything about what the other 49 okay. states could do, or frankly, what South Dakota could do after Quill were overruled.
I'm just running out of time here, and forgive me for jumping in here, but there's one last thing I want to ask you, because you know, this case was argued before the Supreme Court today, and I'm seeing here that Justice Kennedy, for example, just a couple of years ago, he said that the legal system should find an appropriate case to reexamine Quill because he says it's inflicting extreme harm and unfairness on the state. So does that give you sort of a window into how the court might rule here?
Well, I think it tells you why the court took the case and why the case got to the court. And I think when the Supreme Court granted review in January, South Dakota and its allies thought that they were going to have a pretty smooth path to getting Quill overturned. But the questioning of the argument today was very, very tough. Based on a lot of the issues we've been discussing. You know, when Justice Kennedy wrote that, he did not have the information about 86 to 96% of sales taxes being collected.
Yeah.
He didn't have the information about the shift to bricks and clicks, and he didn't have the information about the vulnerability of small online sellers to these kinds of costs and what would do to their businesses. So I think that, at least based on the questions at the argument, has raised a number of concerns in the minds
right.
of many of the justices,
right.
and obviously we'll see how they rule.
Well, Andy Pincus is a visiting lecturer at Yale Law School and partner at the firm Mayer Brown in Washington. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be with you.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.